Oh, great news, everyone!
Talk radio the way the founding fathers would have done it.
I'm just a man trying to make his mark on history.
Red State Talk Radio.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution of peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Politics, 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 politics.
That's right. It's politics, politics, politics. Welcome and good morning. Hi, it's November 11th, 2016. And yes, the world has not ended. We have survived the 2016 presidential election. Hi, I'm your host, Warren Markwitz, and this is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markwitz Show, live on Spreaker.com, also carried on Red State Talk Radio, Blog Talk, Podomatic, and pretty much where else you can find us, including Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and every other corner of the internet. Welcome and thank you for joining me. This is also a Veterans Day. So for those of you who are listening that have worn the uniform, served the country, and done what is necessary, I'd like to say thank you very much for your sacrifice. Thank you to your families for letting you be shared with the rest of us. I have not worn a uniform. I am very proud to say that my father, my uncle, and my kid brother have all worn it, and I have friends that are still serving and have served. And for that, I am grateful. It is an unusual situation we see ourselves faced with, but not as unusual as we may think. Before we get into the discussion of the results of the election, but not necessarily the results, but the resulting mayhem, I want to remind everybody to check us out on Facebook.com/Radio Markowitz. Also at twitter.com/Radio Markowitz, follow us on Google Plus and on Blog Talk, Podomatic, Red State Talk Radio, and others. So, where do we go from here? You know, it's like waking up and finding out that your girlfriend is going to meet you on prom night and she's going to be wearing matching bra and panties. You know, the old saying, fellas, is that if you're with a woman and you find out that she's got a bra and panties match, you didn't decide to have sex. She decided to have sex. And for those of you who happen to be on the extremes and say, well, America got screwed on November 8th, I don't think you really see the whole situation. Now, we can agree to disagree. We can agree that our politics may be different. We can agree that we see the problems differently. But we have been polarized. We have talked about this and we have discussed this time and time again. Politics over the last 20-plus years has done nothing more than separate us, Americans. We have been compartmentalized. We have been quantified. We have been identified. We have been hyphenated. We have been stuck in little cubbyholes and little boxes, and they have done nothing more than measure us with this wonderful thing they call metrics. You see, I come from this evil world called banking, and I will share with you what I've shared with many, many people. If you knew about banking, what I knew about banking, you'd put your money in a damn mattress. Let me say this again. If you knew about banking, what I knew about banking, you would put your money in a mattress. I'm not a fan of the banks. I never have been. I'm not a fan of businesses that are run wrong and businesses that are run bad and that are then bailed out by the government. No. Banking has become a measure of control in this country. Plain and simple. We can't use our money the way that we want. We can't put our money in where we want. We can't conduct our business the way we choose to. All because if you use cash, you wind up having to suffer the issues of potential civil forfeitures that don't even require you to commit a crime, but you to have more money than, well, most people would consider normal. Right now, that's somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple of $1,000 in your pocket, as opposed to a couple of $100 in a debit card. And sometimes that may be considered too much. But that is a conversation for another day, but the point happens to be fairly simple. America has moved away from the idea of civility. Yeah, I'm going to say this. Trump lost the popular election by about 150,000 votes. Basically, people in Los Angeles decided he didn't want to be president. So for those of you who are out there and say, well, we should be doing the popular vote, remember, mob rule is something that the founding fathers decided against. The concept of the mob deciding everything. Because we're not a democracy. Well, actually, we are a democracy, sort of. Because statewide, we are a pure democracy when it comes to voting for representatives. We vote for the representatives in the Electoral College. So if our state says, as a whole, we're going to vote for Hillary or we're going to vote for Trump, those electors, in most instances, are bound to vote to cast the first ballot for the person we choose. Okay, so that's democratic. On the other hand, when it comes to the Electoral College, it's a republic, a representative form of government. People have complained, and I heard this time and time again, why is it that we have the Electoral College? What do we need it for? Well, let's explain how this works out. If four states can determine who's going to be the president of the United States, they're basically saying, go screw the rest of you. So if those of us who live in flyover country decide that we don't want somebody who's so far to the goddamn left, he's coming around to the side of communism, well, too bad. Your voice doesn't matter. That's the whole purpose of the Electoral College, is to prevent that from happening. Everybody starts off with three. That's right. Whether you're California, Florida, or Iowa, you start off with three. Two senators and a congressman. And you move from there. Every congressman represents somewhere in the neighborhood of 225 or 250,000 people. So when push comes to shove and you put all the eggs in the proper baskets, you recognize that as a group, as a civilization, we get to vote for the people that we choose to vote for equitably. So for those of you who might be listening that decide that the Electoral College is something that's outdated and unnecessary, just remember something. If you live in a sparsely populated area and you actually want your vote to make a difference and count, then you need to have something that's representative. If you live in the big cities and you're dependent upon government, once it swings in that direction, my friends, it's not coming back. Not without bloodshed and tears, not without headaches and heartaches, not without all the problems and screams and ranting and raving that they've been talking about. And by the way, congratulations to my generation. That's right, those of us in our 40s who have had kids who are now probably somewhere in the neighborhood of high school or college or even college graduates, you're the ones who produced the crybabies who have been protesting and burning parts of California and other college campuses around the country because they didn't like the outcome of the election. Well, it's time to grow up. We don't all get a trophy for participating and showing up. We don't all get a trophy because we don't earn it. When you go to the Olympics, there are hundreds of people that may compete in an event, and only three go home with medals. It's because they're the best. They earned the rank. These aren't safe spaces. This isn't a place in which you can run and hide from reality. That's what these are doing. That's what these kids are doing. They're complaining and they're crying. And they're throwing a giant temper tantrum. It's up to us to show them that it's work with the people you disagree with, not necessarily try to destroy them. Because somewhere in the neighborhood of the mid-1990s, to today, we've decided that it's okay to vilify those who disagree with us. Well, you want to know something? Maybe it is okay to vilify those who disagree with us if they don't have to be lived with. You know, it's one thing to have foreign policy positions that are opposite others and to be able to justify them. I'm talking about the guys outside. Nobody exactly gets along with everybody in their own family. There's always a black sheep somewhere along the lines. There's always an outlier, somebody who's, you know, the crazy uncle or the spinster aunt or some stupid like that, where you just simply chalk it up because they're a quote, a little different, end quote. But overall, Trump is the president-elect. He is the one in which the votes that were counted and the votes that were qualified chose to be president. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a 49 states to one kind of landslide. This was a squeaker. This was a narrow margin win in terms of the Electoral College was actually a little wider, but overall, it shows one very important fact. America remains divided. Now, you want to sit here and blame Barack Obama? Be my guest. You want to sit here and blame Clinton, the President Clinton? Be my guest. You want to sit here and blame anybody? Look in a damn mirror. Look at what we've taught our kids. We didn't teach our kids the same way our parents taught us. We thought we knew better. This is the arrogance of the Gen Xers. That's right. I've said it. The arrogance of the Gen Xers and the Gen Ys that said we know better than what our parents, because it's a different world. The only thing different is that we got a 24-hour news cycle, and we can communicate, play games, and search the internet without leaving the bathroom, as opposed to being attached to a telephone and actually having some freedom by leaving the house and ignoring everybody, getting into our cars. No, this means even more that our responsibility to ourselves and to our communities and to our nation are even that much more important. Folks, if we continue to ignore the simple fact that half the people wanted Hillary and half the people effectively wanted Donald, if we ignore the other side, we're not governing for America. We're going to continue to divide ourselves. We're going to continue to vilify ourselves. That's not what this is about. It's not what American politics is about. But it is the reason we've been laughed at for the last, well, decade or so. Think about it. I'm Warren Markowitz. This is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markowitz Show. I'll be right back after this break. Sit tight. Thanks for joining me.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-217-0599 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-217-0599 and get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-217-0599 now.
It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
And we're back. Thank you very much for sticking with me. Okay. Where do we go from here? I mean, you think... I'm kind of stuttering and kind of tripping over ourselves because there is so much to process. So much hate and so much fear and so much concern. The day hasn't even come yet. January 20th isn't even here yet. The cabinet members are not identified. The heads of departments are not even spoken about. It is a transitional period. And everybody's worried about this being reversed and that being reversed and the next thing being reversed. Well, you know what? It's legitimate. Everybody's concerned about the things that Obama has done and the things that Trump will do and what will happen next. But we have to remember something. We have to remember a very important factor. We spoke up. Trump wasn't elected because people wanted a right-wing, quasi-liberal conservative. Trump was elected because people didn't want Hillary. It's a very important factor. I don't believe that Trump was elected because Trump was the desired candidate. There were better candidates on that stage, but he played the game better than the others. And if the game in and of itself was a rigged outcome, as everybody keeps complaining and screaming about, then we got played. And we have to deal with it. Let's look at it this way. I, for one, don't believe that Obama's policies were advantageous to the majority. I don't think they supported the minority any better than most other policies did. I'll give you one example. Obamacare is a disaster. It's a $1 trillion a year loser for the American people. I've always said from the very beginning that if you wanted to reform the insurance market, the health insurance market in this country, you have to take the bull by the horns. And you're going to say, well, you know, health insurance is regulated based upon each state. You want to know something? So are the financial markets. So were the stocks and bonds long before we had the SEC, long before we had the 1933 Act, the 1934 Act, the 1940 Act. They were all governed by the states. That's where our blue sky law is coming from, by the way. The term is blue sky, but it generally refers to basically from the center of the earth to the clear blue sky in each one of the states. That's the jurisdiction that the states had. The feds came in and said, you know what? We're going to fix that. We're going to overlay a regulatory structure. So basically what happens now is when something gets approved for sale, when a company files what's known as an S-1 or a Form 10, and the appropriate regulatory body says it's okay to be sold, the states themselves usually pile on and have it registered with their appropriate authorities through a follow-on registration or a joint registration. You don't have to sit there and jump through the hoops of each one of the states that you wish to sell this particular security in. We went backwards with the insurance markets. We wound up creating 50 different insurance markets again when we already had them, driving the costs up, creating and enforcing different structures and different things. All we had to do was allow insurance to be sold across state lines. Competition is what makes America work. Do you buy the most expensive gas when you go down the street? Do you look for a particular brand? Do you look for a particular shop? Do you buy your gas in the same place? You're that kind of person who buys a gas in the same place usually a couple times a week or once every, 10 days or so. You go to the same gas station. Maybe you're a little anal, you go to the same gas pump. Or you buy it before work or whatnot. Imagine being told, you know what? All the Chevron stations are gone. All the Texaco stations are gone. All the, all the mobile stations are gone. And you're just allowed to buy from this government gas, it's called. It's government gas. That's the name of the company, government gas. That's what happened to the insurance market. When you're forced to buy a particular product, what do you think happens to its price? It goes up. What do you think is going on now with the insurance markets under Obamacare? The prices are going up. There are some people that are paying more for their health insurance coverage per month than they do for their mortgages or their rent payments for their homes. And there are deductibles that are so ridiculous that you literally have to spend $24,000 to $30,000 a year in health care before your insurance kicks in. At what point is that a benefit? That's a pure redistribution of funds, of wealth. It takes money out of your pocket and gives it to somebody else that you may or may not want to do business with. And you're gaining nothing from it. All because the government decided to dictate in 50 separate different markets what we have to do and what we have to buy. Supreme Court said it. If it was a tax, it was okay. Well, what do you think's happening? Your money is being bled from you. If you've got to pay $18,000 a year for health care, for health insurance, not even health care, health insurance, 18 grand a year, wouldn't that money be better spent someplace else? What if you can get that same thing for $3,000 a year? Or even $5,000 a year? What if it was that easy? When Trump says he's going to repeal and replace Obamacare, I hope, I really do hope, that what he does is create a national market. Take a look at it and expand the market nationally, not just state by state, because that would help the smaller states, and that would definitely make things easier, because when you've got 100,000 different customers for a company spread across three or four different states, your risks are spread, your change is done. It's a whole bunch of things. This is where things like Obamacare can be improved. Now, whether or not they see the light of day and Congress pulls its head out of its tuchus and we actually do it, that's impressive. You see, the issue right now that we're faced with is not who's governing. It's can they govern? Will they govern? Will they stop running for office? Now, I'm picking on Obama, maybe a little bit. But I'm using him as the most recent example. I always thought the man really just simply failed at governing. He constantly ran for office. He constantly tried to say to the American people why we should be doing something, but he never took the steps to govern. And when he did, he tripped over his feet and wound up eating his shoes. In foreign policy, we're the laughingstock of the world at this point. You've got rising strengths and powers in Russia and China. We have potential enemies where we didn't have any. You know, we have potential threats that didn't exist before. Now, in general, if you think about this here, Russia is not a threat to the United States. It's not an overt threat. Its nuclear stockpile is a threat. Its potential military interference is a threat. But at 110 million people, Russia itself is generally not a threat to the United States and shouldn't be treated as such. Should it be treated as an equal? Yeah, within reason. Should it be treated as maybe a counterparty that needs to be negotiated with and its interests reflected and respected? Yeah, if you actually want to be a grown-up and actually walk into a room and deal with people. Same with the Chinese. You know, you got 1.2 billion Chinese. Population-wise, that's an overt concern. That's an issue that, you know, any military planet would need to look at. But in terms of it is a threat to America, not really. The Chinese aren't stupid. They're not going to destroy their own pocketbook. You see, as much as we are global, we are local. Trump wants to bring back jobs. You want to, and whether you like it or not, The only way to properly stabilize the economics in this country and to help the very people who need to be helped when it comes to jobs is to deal with the lower paying entry level positions that are being, that are being manipulated. You know, there are some parts of this country that said we're gonna drag the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Have you met some of these people working these jobs? Do they deserve $15 an hour? Are they able to comprehend simple concepts to pay them $15 an hour? Is $30,000 a year a worthwhile use of your money for somebody to pour you a cup of coffee? Is $30,000 a year effective for somebody to push the cash register buttons in a McDonald's? Those jobs are entry level. Those are supposed to teach you the working skills. That's why the turnover is so great in them. They're not supposed to be your source of income or your career. I mean, they can't. Let me be frank. They can be. You know, there was a there was an anniversary celebrated by one of the McDonald's owners with one of his employees, and the guy was there for a considerable period of time. I believe it was over a decade. It might have been closer to 20 years or something like that. But the gentleman that they celebrated was, I believe, mentally retarded or Down syndrome. He was, we'll be polite and say handicapped in one form or another. But those jobs for him, that increased his self-worth, that increased his value to himself, that gave him confidence, that gave him a place to fit in and a place to be. At $30,000 a year, you're not going to be hiring people like that, people who really, really need those jobs. You're going to wind up creating a greater sense of dependency for people who just can't compete in an open job market like that. And that's where we have our issues. And that's why, whether you like it or not, illegal immigration is such a concern. If you're in a white middle class, if you're in a middle class in general, if you're in a professional realm, regardless of color, race, or creed, illegal immigration doesn't affect you. Not in general. Not specifically. You're not competing in the marketplace. They're not a competition. So when you think about it, oh yeah, it's wonderful. It's a great thing. Don't worry about it. They're not really hurting anybody. Let them come in. They're not hurting us. Particularly, they're not hurting us. They're actually benefiting us. Because whether you hire them or not, whether you use them or not, whether they clean your backyards or clean your house, whether they work in your restaurant under the table or whatnot, they're not really hurting the money class, if you will. Those in the middle class or above that actually, aren't concerned. What they're hurting is the very people who need the jobs that they're taking. I'm not going to argue that an illegal immigrant is taking a brain surgeon's job. I'm not going to argue that an illegal immigrant is taking a mechanic's job even. But the labor issues, the entry-level positions, the ones that need to be available for those that need the skills and the wherewithal to move forward, that's who hurts. And I'll be I'll be blunt. It's the African-American male. It's the black American male under the age of 25 that needs that opportunity. Whether it's to drag himself out of the inner city or to drag himself up to afford to be able to go to college or to drag himself up to be able to put food on a table and stay out of trouble, or just to simply build self-confidence to make the next step in moving forward, that's where those things are impacted. Those are the people, the ones we choose to ignore, the ones we look to, just simply not concern ourselves with. Those are the ones that we need to recognize. And so whether you like the idea that Trump has got a problem with illegal immigration, which a lot of us do have a problem with, or not, think of the benefits. Because I'll tell you something. The votes that they got, and the Democrats got a lot, like the bulk of the votes from the black population, they got it because they expected it, because they thought they deserved it, because that, my friends, is a problem. You see, we don't need to, or we shouldn't expect that a certain demographic is going to vote for us. I mean, there's a certain demographic that will always vote Democrat, and a certain demographic that will always vote Republican, and that's it, game over, they're going to vote straight ticket, I don't care about nothing. There's also a certain demographic that will vote its conscience and never vote for somebody who is part of the establishment. And a certain demographic that will always, or not necessarily always, but may simply ignore what's going on and vote for what they feel is necessary. That, my friends, is what happened here. That is how Trump got elected. Trump didn't get elected because they wanted him over Hillary. I'm telling you right now, Trump got elected because America was tired of the politics that Hillary represented. Yeah, she was a liar and a manipulator. Yeah, he may have been a womanizer and a chauvinist. But she represented everything that was bad in American politics that people have gotten grown up and disgusted about. The kids that are panicking and screaming and ranting and raving today have never seen anything else. They grew up under Obama. They came to be politically under Obama. And their idea is that, oh, we have a black president. Now we can have a woman president. We will have a woman president. We will have a tough old bird when we get a woman in the White House as president. And I am telling you, the person we get in the White House as president as a female is going to be as tough as gold in my ear and as stubborn as Margaret Thatcher. And they're going to be hated by half the people in this country, and you're going to be surprised who actually supports them. It's going to be the professionals and the males, because when there's a strong woman in a room, you know it. That's what we're looking for, not an opportunist. And that's why Hillary failed. Hillary failed because people were tired of what she represented, and her political career is effectively over. On that, I'm going to take a moment, be right back into this. Sit tight. Thanks. This program is brought to you by the Law Office of Warren R. Markowitz, Esquire. Attorney Markowitz, that's me, is licensed in New York, the U.S. District Court and Bankruptcy Courts in Colorado, and the 9th and 10th Circuit Courts of Appeal. For more information or to see if I can help you with your case, please contact me at info@markowitzlawfirm.com. That's markowitzlawfirm.com. Warren Markowitz, Esquire, a modern lawyer for modern times. Cryptocurrency and traditional forms of payment accepted.
Red State Talk Radio.
The Talk Monster.
Separating the matter from the chatter. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
And we are back. Thank you very much for giving me a moment to kind of tone things down a little bit. Here's the thing. We left last segment when we said that Hillary's career is over. Whether they choose to prosecute, if a new attorney general chooses to prosecute or even follow through with a prosecutor on the emails or the secret issues or the private server, is irrelevant. Yeah, everybody knows that she shouldn't get away with the stuff that she obviously got away with. But it's not going to set, it's a bad precedent to set for a new president to go after his political opponent. Really bad. And I don't think Trump is that much of a fool to start setting the tone to be that negative. We are literally divided right down the middle, where in most instances, you can't have a conversation with somebody because, you know, if you have the opposite opinion, they hate you. You can't accomplish anything like that. You can't build coalitions. You can't build strength. You can't build what is necessary if half your people are just not interested in participating. Yeah, the Republicans have now have the House, the Senate, and the White House. Now, if he appoints, you know, remember something. One of the first things that Trump is going to do after he figures out who's running the cabinet positions, and he starts, he works, goes down the line and appoints all of the participants in the different posts in government. One of the first things that's going to happen is there's going to be an appointment to the Supreme Court to bring the court back to 9 judges. I, for one, would like to see a conservative centrist, somebody who recognizes the value and the importance of the U.S. Constitution and the governing documents and the foundational documents, and does not choose to ignore the limitations on government, and is able to work with and convince the left, which wants to, in general, have a stronger, more centralized form of government. If you think about it, it's a lot simpler to live that way. I don't think it's appropriate. I think we should govern ourselves locally, and I think we should deal with the things the way we are dealing with them. You know, local governments, local legislatures, and so forth. That's my opinion. I'm a states kind of guy. Okay? I believe that the states, the people in the communities, have a lot more to say than somebody who's 2,000 miles away or 3,000 miles away. Well, pretty much the argument we had when we threw up the King of England. You're all the way over there. What do you have to say about something that's all the way over here? That's why the federal government is limited in its authority. With that said, a Supreme Court that leans conservative and leans towards the rights of the states, that gives us a more equal foundation. It allows the community-oriented people, us, to establish the standards of which we are willing to accept. Now, a lot of people out there are going to be screaming, well, they're going to reverse all the, you know, the gay rights issues, and they're going to, you know, they're going to destroy the national parks, and they're going to, there goes the planet because we're not going to be part of the climate change agenda. I say you're wrong. I say that not only are you wrong, I think that you're overreacting. First of all, the issue on the gay rights issues, it's a non-starter. It really is a non-starter. The issues have been established through the courts. They're done. There isn't any more flip-flop. There isn't any more room for maneuvering. Whether you like it or not, the guy down the street can marry the guy across the street, and vice versa for the woman. Families can adopt. Non-traditional families can adopt. You don't have to like it. You have to accept society the way society has evolved. It's like people argue about the Second Amendment. Why do people have to have guns? Because there are other people out there that are animals. And they're, you know, it's that simple. You know, animal, you know, you can either be predator or prey. Just because you're a predator doesn't mean you go around screwing other people. It means you're left alone. Look at the big sharks in the ocean. There are fish that kind of like hang out with them. You even see them in schools of fish that are prey fish. They're not eating everything in sight. You know, there was a statement made by Trump about the people who support the Second Amendment. and it bent a lot of others out of shape. It's fairly simple. There's 300 million personal firearms in the hands of about 100 million people with about 12 trillion rounds of ammunition. If we were a problem, you'd probably notice it. But we're not, because that's not what we're about. What we're about is exercising a right. Just like saying something that people don't appreciate, something that people don't enjoy. I'll share something with you. I haven't really put the commercial together, but I want you to go to someplace. It's called FundedJustice.com. And yes, you can see some of the places that raise capital to help support Ammon Bundy as one of them. But there's a guy by the name of Jeffrey Winehouse. W-E-I-N-H-A-U-S, Jeffrey Winehouse. Jeffrey is a client of mine, and we are actually raising money through Funded Justice to help move his case forward. He's serving 30 years in jail for showing up after a police officer told him to, and while exercising his rights to carry a holstered weapon, was shot 6 times, hit 4 times, and then was arrested and convicted of assaulting a police officer. Mind you, they told him to show up at a ruse to collect his materials after they executed a search warrant in his house and confiscated his computers to find out who else he was talking to. It's a complicated matter. You can get all the details on Funded Justice, but the point I'm bringing up is fairly simple. I can say something you don't appreciate. I can say something you don't like. It doesn't matter. The First Amendment allows freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of ideals, freedom to redress government, protest. Thank you very much to everybody over at Bundy Ranch in 2014 who decided to protest. And freedom to basically put my foot in my mouth if I choose. Doesn't give me a playlist. Doesn't provide me a right to an audience. It gives me the right to speak whether you like it or not. Now, mind you, there are general community restrictions on how things go about. But overall, we have to get past the idea that somebody who says something simply offends you because they disagree with you. So when they pick somebody for the court, those people have to recognize that they may simply be approving, quote-unquote, of somebody saying something they don't enjoy or don't like. So what? See, that's the middle ground. I disagree with a lot of left-wing politics. I disagree with a lot of ultra-liberal politics. But it's not my decision. I can understand it. I may even debate it. I may even, well, in some instances, you may even adopt it, even if you're a radical conservative. My issues are fairly simple. The government should stay out of my life, keep itself to what we established it for, and that's pretty much it. Let me do what I think is appropriate. Let me raise my family the way I want, or the way I think is appropriate. Let me live how I choose. You protect the borders. You protect the country in general. You regulate and do what we said you could do, not what we've expanded this monster into. You see, I think what we've got with Trump is fairly simple. I think we have enough of an outsider and enough of a indetermined politician. In other words, not really sure where he sits. Is he a business conservative? Is he a social liberal? You'd be very surprised. Because I think that's exactly what he's going to be. Because if you come from New York, you tend to be a little bit more socially liberal. And if you're from the finance or the real estate area, you tend to be a little bit more business conservative. Because you have to be. Those are the worlds you live in. Those are the communities you stem from. So don't be surprised if socially you find some liberal things coming out of them. And fiscally you find some conservative things coming out of them. Because that's pretty much what America is made out of. Remember, you don't have to approve of what your neighbor does. You just have the respect of their right to do it. Nothing comes down to approval. You could like the two boys that live together down the street, or two girls that live together down the street, but that doesn't mean you have to approve of them or their lifestyle. But you have to respect it. See, that's where I want America to go again. That's where I want us to be. I want to see America respect the differences. We honor them, yeah. We try to, at least, with the parades and all the other BS that goes on every year. But we, do we really respect the people that are disagree with us or live differently? When we do that, the world's going to look at us like we are back on top. And we can turn around and say, you know what? That's not only not acceptable, but we can't even figure out where to stick it in terms of where we can find it to be acceptable. That's when our enemies become our enemies. That's when those who question whether or not we've got the backbone to stand up for ourselves will recognize we got the backbone to stand up for ourselves. We'll touch on foreign policy in a second. I'll be right back.
The Warren Markowitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it.
Mostly Mail, your local provider for all your postal packaging and mailing needs. Owned and operated by your neighbors, Mostly Mail provides the packaging and mailing services you need when dealing with all your holiday shipping. Visit Bill and the Boys at 7260 West Azure Drive, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89130, or give them a call at 702-294-6245. That's 702-294-6245 for more information. Mostly Mail, your local provider for postal packaging and mailing needs. They keep me connected. They can keep you connected. Stop on in and tell them Warren sent you.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-605-6818. That's 800-605-6818. 800-605-6818.
The Warren Markowitz Show.
The Warren Markowitz Show.
On Spreaker, Automatic, and Red State Radio.
Okay. Foreign policy. You know, we touched on it briefly before. Russia and China, and we'll throw North Korea in there. We'll look at our friends down south, you know, down under in Australia. The crazies, our crazy cousins in England over there that have decided that the European Union is not something they want to be a part of, and due to Brexit, maybe even the issue of the secession of California. Yeah, believe it or not, we'll get back to foreigners in a second. Californians are so pissed off, they're actually talking about seceding. And there's a petition that's being circulated, and they want to pick up and leave. You want to know something? Even if they could, they'd be a third world country within a month. Their currency wouldn't be worth garbage, and their industry would cease to exist. You want to know why? Well, you all know why. California can't govern itself. California can't function itself. California at one point was in such a bad financial straits that it was issuing IOUs to its employees and the people who did business with it. It's not going to start off with a great credit rating. It's probably not going to start off with a great financial position. And it's going to have, well, what, 30 plus, almost 40 million people, if not more, half of which is dependent upon the other half, and you're currently being taxed right now, combined federal and state, somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 or 51%. So I can hear the argument now. Well, you paid it to the federal government, now you pay it to us. And they still won't be able to deal with it. See, that's the temper tantrum, folks. That's the issue in which, well, I don't like it, so I'm taking my football and I'm going home. Too bad. Grow up. Deal with your neighbors. See, that's what we need to see in our foreign policy again. Dealing with our neighbors. Not simply ignoring them. I mean, I have a big problem with the fact that we reopened relations or general relations with Cuba. Not because I dislike the Cuban people. I happen to like the Cuban people. You know, being a Jew, it's nice to know that some people refer to Cubans as the Jews of Latin America or the Caribbean. They tend to wander. I've met some very nice people when I worked in Florida. I've enjoyed some very good food in Florida. See, I judge people by what we eat. Family orientation is in how we eat, how you get together. Community, extremely important to me. It may not be important to others, but it's extremely important to me. But my issue with Cuba is fairly simple. It was a bad deal to deal with what we did with Cuba. We got nothing out of it. America got nothing out of it. The Cubans got recognition. The government got recognition. We opened an embassy. Big deal. But what do we get out of it? What does America manage to get out of it? We can't identify the things that we can benefit from as a nation. It's the same thing with Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran. What do we get? What did we get for all that bloodshed in Iraq and Afghanistan? All that destruction, all that wasted wealth, all those lost lives, all that harm that we cause our own people, our own people. What did we get? We got nothing. I, for one, would have pulled up every oil tanker that we could get our hands on and pumped those countries dry. I'd have left them nothing. Listen, you can't pay back the $3 trillion we spent overthrowing, you know, that SOB you had in Saddam Hussein and tracking his, took us down and then hanging him. You couldn't pay us back for that? I'll take what I can and trade. It boils down to that. The idea of Islamic terrorism. And people are afraid that if they leave the country and they happen to be Muslim, they're not coming back in. Well, first of all, if you're a U.S. citizen, I think you got a bit of an issue there. I think coming back in is not the problem. I think the problem happens to be that the people that we're concerned about are not the same people that we're used to having around. The American people dealt with Muslim immigration decades ago. We also recognize or simply seem to ignore the fact that in 1979, when Iran took over our embassy, we packed up whatever we possibly could from Iran and sent them a packet, sent them home. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. The things that have been proposed are not that dramatic. They've happened before. Mass deportations happened under something called Operation Wetback. Is there a nice way of putting it? No, but it did happen. Restricting Muslim immigration? Ain't the first time when somebody pointed a gun at us that we did it. We have to put America first. When she comes first, not only do we benefit, but the world is a safer place. It's a stronger place. It's a more kind place. Folks, you and I see a lot in what's going on. You and I recognize a lot of what's happening. Over the next several months, over the next 71 days, there's going to be a lot of whining and crying and bitching and complaining and all the other fun stuff that goes on. And in the end, we either govern together, we find ourselves separated by the same stupidity we're trying to avoid. I thank you very much. I wish us all the best of luck. And for those of you who are still wondering what's going to happen tomorrow, my guess is the sun's going to rise in the east and set in the west. The clocks are still going to be ticking. And there'll still be nothing on television to watch. You guys be good. I'll catch you again soon. I'm Warren Markowitz. This is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markowitz Show. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye.
The Warren Markowitz Show. If you're thinking about it, we're probably talking about it.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital. Red State Talk Radio.
Mr. Speaker, get me a doctor.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital. Red State Talk Radio.